People judge the message of the church by the kind of members it has. That's a scary thought, isn't it? People judge the message of the church by the kind of members that are in the church. And you know, that is us. That is us. Each of us is an ambassador, a representative, an example, for better use of another term, a living example of the gospel. For those who know us, our example can be more powerful than a television or an internet program used by the church. I was reading the other day some old church literature, and most of the people that come into the church don't come into the church because of the literature or because of this or that. Most of them come into the church because they know somebody that's in the church and they began to talk to them. So example plays an important part in how members are added to the church. If we set a good example, and lots of us think like, yeah, I wish so-and-so would have set a better example. I'm not talking about so-and-so. I'm talking about you, about your example and my example. If we set a good example, we will strengthen the message of the church. We will reinforce the message with a demonstration of faith and practical living. So today what we're going to do in this sermonette is we're going to look at how personal example influences three groups of people. And let's raise our awareness in this sermonette of the power example. First of all, how does your example affect people that are already in the church? How does your example affect other church members? Our example has the strongest impact when someone who wants to do what is right sees our right doing, sees our good example. Let's go to the book of 1 Timothy for a scripture on this subject. This is how your example affects other church members. We're looking at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 12, it says, but let no one, this was written to Timothy, he was a young pastor, but let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in what you say, in what you do, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So here was an example that, here's a scriptural example of how Paul, the Apostle Paul, told younger Timothy that he should be an example in what he says and what he does to those that are in the church. So you and I have to do the same thing. What kind of example do you and I set for those who are brothers in Christ? How do you treat others? Are you pleasant and respectful to the waitress? Because other people are watching what you do. How do you keep the Sabbath? How do you and I treat our spouses? Do you walk the talk? Do you and I walk the talk? So the first group of people that we affect with our example is church members. We have to remember that everyone in this room here is affected by our example. My example and your example. Second group of people that we affect by our example is potential members. People that are learning the truth and learning the right way, and they are looking for good examples. They are looking for, do the people in the church really do what the minister says they should be doing? I hear the pastor and the minister and I read the literature and it says that they should be doing this and acting this way and praying and studying and whatever it tells us to do. And someone coming into the church could be looking at us and saying, I wonder, is that person really doing that? Do I see evidence in their life of that? Let's go to 1 Peter. Right up to Hebrews, we got James and Peter. We're going to look at 1 Peter. And 1 Peter, chapter 3, 1 Peter, chapter 3, and verse 1. Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. This is talking about women who are in the church and whose husbands are not in the church. And it could be the other way around too. And it says here that wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, some husbands aren't followers of the word, they without a word. In other words, the woman doesn't talk about what she's supposed to be doing. You know, I'm supposed to be doing this, and you know, blah blah blah, and nag nag nag, and this and that. It says without a word. If some do not obey the word, that without a word they may be won by the conduct of their wives. So here we have a very great example of wives whose husbands are not in the church, and they can actually help their husbands learn the truth and come into the church by the way they conduct themselves. Not by the way they talk, but by the way they conduct themselves. I've mentioned this quote before by St. Augustine, good old Catholic father, but it's a very good quote, and I've mentioned it before, but it fits right here. Preach always. Use words if necessary. We should be preaching by the way we act, the way we conduct ourselves. And I know many women in the church whose husbands have come into the church because of the conduct of the wife, and vice versa also. That. And I know many children who have come into the church because of the conduct of their parents. And I know many cousins and so forth and so on. So one group is those that are potential members. We are an example to them. A large source of potential members is children of church members. You as a parent, me as a parent, as an uncle, as a grandfather, as a member, how do we treat children? Do children feel comfortable around you? Or do you feel comfortable around children? They are a potential source of church members. Most of the church members, large percentage of them, come from church members, the parents of church members and their children. So parental example greatly influences our children's attitudes towards the church. So parents, be careful about your example and how it relates to church, because our children are watching. Our children are watching. Do we practice what we preach as parents, uncles and aunts, church members in the church? Do we practice what we preach? Does our behavior match what is written in the book? Young people, whether they're your children or not, are looking at you and me and seeing, are they actually doing what they're supposed to be doing? And hypocrisy is one of the greatest turnoffs for young people. So make sure that the young person has a good example to see. The third example, or the third group of people that we can affect by our example, is the world. It's just people in the world. You're not treated right at work. You're not treated right in some situation. Somebody cuts you off in traffic. I mean, you know, somebody steps in front of you at the line of the grocery store. All those things that make you want to take out the bazooka. You know, how do you treat people? I remember before I came into the church, there was a deacon in the church. And I was working for another man who often hired his deacon. He was a bricklayer. And the man that was in the world said, you see that bricklayer over there? You could give him $1 million and he wouldn't work on Saturday. And I said, why not? Because Saturday is his day of rest and he keeps it. So that man had a good example among those that didn't believe. So the people of the world notice our example, especially our example as a group when we go to the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, they know what group we're with. They know who we're with. They know what group we're supposed to represent. Some of them maybe have even gone online to see what our beliefs are, because they may have heard a passing sermon or a passing, you know, situation. I remember one time I was given a seminar on Noah's Ark, and I got an email from the janitor of the building wanting more information, because he was just in the background and he listened and he was interested in what we said, what I said. So people are listening when you are representing the church as a group, especially at the feast. How do you drive? How do you drive to church? I'm going to cut that guy off because it's my lane. And then you find out he's another church member. I mean, you know, your example to the world. How about your example to your neighbors? Your example and my example, I'm just like all of you. You know, they see us every day. That man is weird. He goes somewhere dressed up every Saturday with his briefcase. I think they go to church. That means they must be Sabbath keepers. Other than that, what do they think of you and me? Is your yard neat? Are your, are you screaming at your wife in the house with the windows open? Things like that. When they think and hear about the Sabbath, our neighbors, they think of us. Are we good neighbors? How about our employers? Can we be trusted? Are we Christ-like at work? Are we Christ-like at work? You know, Christ wasn't always treated fairly at work. So are we Christ-like at work? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're in 1 Peter already. Let's go to chapter 2. Back a few verses to chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And it says here, brethren, that we're supposed to live virtuous, holy lives. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Verse 10, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. There was a point, brethren, when we weren't obtaining mercy, but now we've obtained mercy, and we are now God's people. We should live, as it says here in verse 9, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a special people. I tell you in sermons all the time, brethren, that you are special, that you are a special people. Are you acting different? Are you and I acting different when we are among people in the world? Notice verse 12. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lust, which war against the soul. Even with honorable conduct, some may speak against us. Some people who don't see our good example now will see it when Jesus Christ returns and the kingdom is set up. Our example will help them to glorify God on the day of visitation when he returns and the truth is revealed to them. Everyone one day is going to know what you and I know. They're going to remember you. They're going to remember me. They're going to remember how we acted and what we did. We need to live the truth of God and to apply it to our lives and hearts. You and I need to do that. Example is an important result of living God's way. Each of us is a three-dimensional demonstration of whether the message or the gospel is desirable and practical. When people look at you and me, and they're going to, brethren, they're going to. When people look at you and me, what do they say? What do they think? Do they think, other than the fact that he's got a funny religion, he's a very nice person, well-balanced. Do they think that, or do they think, this man is weird and odd because of other beliefs he has that have nothing to do with the gospel? So we can show the world, we can show people in the church, and we can show potential members that what we're doing is a good example and is practical and desirable. So if you want to add strength to the message of the church, a lot of us say, what can I do to help the church? What can I do to help the church further its goals? One of the things we can do is to be consistent with the church's message, and that is to set a good example.